Let's talk a little pop magic. Have some fun with that. We'll be back in a moment with our special guest, Alex Kazemi, in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Let's talk magic. Our special guest, Alex Kazemi, is a cultural deprogrammer and author. His book is called Pop Magic. He's also a pop artist and creative director. His work has been featured on Apple Music, Dazed, ID, Playboy at the time, Resident Advisor, King Kong, V Magazine, and so many others. Alex, welcome to the program.
Hey, man. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me. This is so exciting.
Magic. How'd you get involved in this?
Well, magic is something that I started to practice when a spirit came to me when I was 21 years old, and I was in a darker place, and I kind of told me about magic and to research witchcraft, and I was just, that's kind of how it started.
Tell us about this spirit visit.
It was just kind of like an entity who kind of visited me in a dream, and I was in a really dark place, and it was like, you know, research witchcraft, start to find out about magic, and that really changed everything for me.
And at that time, did you decide to, I guess you went the right direction, right?
Oh, yeah. It changed everything for me. It felt like a reconciliation with something that a part of myself that I felt like I had to discover or that was hidden that I had to reveal. And it was so special when I found it.
You spell magic M-A-G-I-C-K. Tell me about that K.
Well, magic with a K is different than stage magic. Magic with a K is actual magic that you can use to manifest and change your life. So magic, I would define magic as the art and science of bending reality in accordance with your true will.
And it's an interesting way to do it like that, too, because it's more mystical that way with a K at the end.
Yes, and I think when you discover it, there's something so enchanting about it, too. You know, magic with a K, it feels like a secret. It feels like something occult, and it can be so exciting when you start to practice magic. And it really feels like opening up a portal to a different world, really.
Now, what is pop magic?
Well, pop magic is a term that I created as a response to the current cultural climate and occult climate. I've seen that in the past few years, magic has been talked about in the mainstream, whether it's celebrities talking about it on Twitter or Netflix's Sabrina, and even the occult community, they sell spells on Patreon, and witches teach magic on YouTube, and I just saw so much discussion about magic, and I wanted to create a practical guide that I wish existed when I first started practicing.
And didn't this kind of magic open up the door for you to meet a lot of people that we would call superstars of our day?
Yes, it did. And, you know, it's very strange. I was talking about it with Fiona Horn, the feeling of being inside of a spell when you visualize it and you see it in your head and it's happening in reality. It's so bizarre when it's happening. But, yes, that did happen for me.
Fiona's the good witch. We really think the world of her. She's a good person.
Yeah, she's so amazing. She's so cool.
Did you meet Taylor Swift and Madonna?
I met Taylor Swift, yeah, and I got Madonna's attention through a piece of art that I created. She commented on it on Instagram, but I've been to her concert and hung out in VIP there, so that was really cool.
Do you think, Alex, there's still some groups and individuals practicing black magic?
Yes, black magic does exist. I would say that magic doesn't have a color, but there are people who are using magic with negative intentions, people in power, corporations, even groups in Hollywood, I would say. There's definitely evil magic out there.
Does it work for them?
Yeah, I mean, there's low vibrational entities who are willing to work with people who have that darker intention, and they want to feed off of that, and that's available, that evil supply of entities are available for people who want to practice black magic, and it is dangerous.
Do you think good magic always outwins the bad kind?
Well, I think in one's reality, they should be practicing the best kind of magic for their goals. I would hope that good magic would fight back that black magic or bad magic, but it's kind of hard to define because of how chaotic magic is and ambiguous. It's not simple.
Alex, how have you used magic in your life so far?
Well, I've used magic to advance my career, to accomplish, you know, my dreams. I use magic to be here talking to you right now. So
really, you put a spell on me, didn't you?
I visualized being here talking to you.
Well,
just
good
like
for
this.
You.
So I guess I did do a spell.
That's cool. How about in health related issues and things like that?
Oh yeah. Well, I had cancer when I was a young teenager, like preteen, and you know, this was the time where I was practicing magic unconsciously, but I had such a positive willpower in my mind to believe that I would survive it, and that was kind of one of my first experiences with magic, and the people around me who were older were kind of shocked how I had such a will. And if you know, magic is a lot about will and having a lethal will to get to your goal and to accomplish something.
Can we ask what kind of cancer you had as a teenager?
Yeah, I had Burkitt's lymphoma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
And you beat it. Good for you.
Yeah, I got it. It's almost 10 years. Yeah, way, way, way long ago. Yeah.
Tell us the techniques you used.
With magic?
Yeah. I mean, did you go through conventional medicine at the same time?
Oh, well, yeah. I used chemotherapy, and I had a great oncologist who was helping me, but I used a lot of visualization. I just kind of believed that I would get out of there, that I would survive.
Very positive, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah. When people were telling me that I was dying, I was like, "No, I'm gonna live."
How would you recommend magic to somebody who's brand new? What would you say to them?
Well, I think for a first-time spell or a ritual in our current cultural climate, I would want people to do a protection spell or a protection ritual on themselves, because there's so much energies that people are engaging with all the time, with their phone notifications and social media feeds. And I think to have a clearer head, you should do a protection ritual. And to do that, you visualize barriers of white light surrounding you.
Interesting. Could you give us a few little techniques?
Well, to start out with, like, a protection ritual, I would say, you know, grab some water and get some salts and put it in the water and visualize white light surrounding you. And when you feel like a feeling of being ready to burst, just put the water on you, spill it on yourself, and then there you go. The protection should start to work.
If somebody's been cursed,
yes,
would you use magic to fight it?
I mean, do you know of the evil eye curse? Have you heard of the evil eye?
The evil eye. Now, I've heard of the evil eye, but I'm not sure about the curse. But tell us about it.
Yeah, well, the evil eye curse is, you know, known in a lot of mystic systems like Kabbalah and Christianity and other type of religions. But it's very common. It's when you're talking negatively about someone and they possibly get sick or something like that. So it's kind of a way to reverse that would be to do things like protection. And I think you can fight back black magic with white magic and light magic for sure.
It's interesting how it works. Do you have to believe in it for it to work for you?
See, I would say it's difficult, because I think it works regardless of belief. It bypasses belief.
It takes over, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's happening regardless if someone is cynical of it, regardless if someone doesn't believe in it. Magic is happening all the time, and people are using it. So believing in it makes it more of a fun experience when you're practicing it. Obviously, it's more of an enjoyable experience. But I know some magical practitioners, including myself, would say belief doesn't always have to be in your head to make it work, because it's powerful. The act in itself, doing it, is powerful.
Do you have to be very spiritual for it to work?
I think emotion is a big aid into magic. You
it
know,
would
learning
help.
How to convert your feelings and to use alchemy to direct it towards a ritual, or turning a negative feeling into a good feeling, and being in touch with your feelings and emotions. I think being a spiritual person in today's world is a good response to a lot of the, you know, spiritual poverty and chaos that we have around us. You know, there's a lot of disconnection. I feel like we live in like an apocalyptic state today.
Yeah, a lot of people are just very angry these days. Maybe this is something they need to help overcome that.
Exactly. Like, I don't condone people, you know, keyboard slamming on Twitter and talking to themselves in an echo chamber. I think, you know, the kind of magic that I'm advocating for is to alchemize your emotions and feelings and what we could be considered negative emotions into a higher outlet and doing something actual practical and productive with it.
Tell me about transcendental meditation. You seem to be very, very into it.
Bob Roth and the David Lynch Foundation gave me a course that changed my life, and I definitely think TM and magic are connected because TM helps you clear your mind, and a lot of people who first start practicing magic feel like they can't empty their mind to visualize something for an end result. So when you practice TM and you reach that state of emptying your mind and clearing your head, it can help your magic as well. But what I love about TM is that it gave me the internal peace that I was searching for outside of myself when I struggled with things like addiction. Mm-hmm. And TM showed me that light was within me the whole time. So it was a little frustrating also.
Why do so many people, Alex, kind of take magic the wrong way? They think it's black magic. They think there are evil witches. And, you know, some of that does happen. But, I mean, they initially think magic is more occultish than I think it is.
Yeah, I think that's from society creating fear and propaganda, and probably from Christianity and the Bible being a part of what modern society is. And I think that a lot of magical people would tell you that it isn't inherently evil or bad. And a lot of people are conditioned. I think maybe society conditions people that magic is evil so that they don't use it to change their life and to so that more people who use it can control you.
Now talk about that for a little bit more when you talk about control.
Well, I think corporations and advertisers are exploiting lower instincts in people to get them to give up their magical energy. And I think that that's a type of control that goes on in our culture. And I think we live in a time where people are trying to hijack our emotions and our thoughts. And I see that a lot in occult literature, and I think that corporations and advertisers are using magic and occult literature against us. And we can be a part of the reversal process by doing magic and protecting ourselves and focusing on this, getting all of that out of our mind and raking what's been conditioned into us outside of our mind.
Is that what you call cultural deprogramming?
I would say cultural deprogramming to me would be, you know, actually getting off of social media, you know, trying to find out who you are outside of what I call the simulation, the matrix, you know, the virtual reality world where you are feeling Armageddon feelings over things that you saw on Twitter rather than paying attention to the people around you and focusing on your goals. I think there's a lot of constructs that society creates that you should rake through your mind and deprogram and give it back to society because it doesn't belong to you.
You are not a booster of social media, are you?
No, I'm very anti-social media, which some people are shocked by because, you know, the industry that I've worked in and because I'm a millennial, but I definitely think that I'm seeing it destroy some great minds and great artists of my generation. A lot of them want to tweet about their ideas and not execute them. It's very dark.
And is it dangerous in your opinion?
I would say it is dangerous because I think it's about addiction. I mean, social media is based off of Las Vegas slot machine culture. They want you to be in the virtual reality for as much time as they can so that you aren't doing productive things with your goals and accomplishing things. They want you stuck in a VR headset, virtual reality. I don't know why. Maybe so that they can control you more and make you submissive when I think if you walk away from that, that's a very rebellious statement in our world. You know, that would be the counterculture is fighting against social media.
Would you turn the clock back, Alex, if we had that ability to do it all over again?
Go back to like the 90s?
Way back.
There's been positive elements about social media, right? With activism and Rose McGowan is a great example of that, you know, with the activism she did with the Weinstein trial. And I think, but I do think that people abuse it and abuse social media, and it's a part of why we're in like a dystopian climate for sure.
Have you, since you've been practicing this kind of magic, pop magic, have you felt a difference with yourself?
Oh, 100%. I mean,
night and day, isn't it?
Yeah, night and day. And I think, you know, if we as human beings have an innate desire to connect to spirituality, and when we don't use that, and we reach out to things outside of ourselves, like consumerism or addiction, and I think that magic facilitates this desire to connect to the upper world and to spirituality, and it also changes who you are, because it brings something like a new layer of consciousness into your life. You know, it's almost like becoming awake, and you can't go back to sleep once you start to pay attention to these synchronicities and the rhythms of nature. You know, you can't unlearn that stuff.
Tell me about these entities you've dealt with. Good and bad, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, in my earlier days, I had a lot of entities, you know, drag me around the house, say my name. You know, there's been times where just in daylight, I was, like, sitting, and I went into sleep paralysis.
Oh, my God.
An entity said my name, and I was pretty freaked out, and it was around the time when Marilyn Manson first came into my life, and so I feel like he has some lower vibrational things stuck to him, you know.
Maybe they followed him.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, he's definitely haunted and paranormal for sure. Like, very bizarre situations happened when I was engaging with him. But there were beautiful entities also, like angels. You know, I also am a huge advocate, and I talk about it in the book, is, you know, invent your own gods and goddesses. Invent your own angels. Don't follow the dogmatic, you know, witch books or occult books. You know, I believe that spirits are entities doing drag.
Interesting take. Can you be physically hurt by some of these entities?
I think I've seen situations where, you know, young girls might discover the Satanic Bible, and, you know, they might do a spell to sell their soul to Satan and wake up with flies everywhere, and then they might, you know, start to work with a demon, and then suddenly
it's too late.
Has a fetish, and I think they could hurt you, but it has to happen in our world, in the material world.
What do you think of Ouija boards?
I mean, I played with them when I was younger, but I've heard some creepy stories about them.
I think they open up portals to the other side.
I agree.
You got to be really careful with those things.
You're right.
You know, and even though a lot of people think, as I do, you know, it's a piece of cardboard or something like that, a little bit of wood, but I think it opens up all kinds of doors.
Exactly.
Bad
wow,
doors.
You're right. It's like this, it's like they see it as a cue, right? Because if they're watching and they see that we're playing with
it's an invite.
It's a cue. It's an invite. Yeah, very true.
And in they come.
Yes, they do. Yeah. Exactly.
Now, what do you recommend for people who want to get involved in magic in a good way? What do you recommend they do?
Well, my book has a lot of great practical steps to get into it, because there's a lot of, you know, difficult, there's in the occult world, there's a lot of bloated literature and overcomplication. So my book really simplifies things. I mean, I would hope that the people who are into magic would want to advance their life for the better, and also, you know, change and create some self-discipline and start to identify what they want and their will. You know, it's very interesting. So many people say to me, if magic is real, well, I don't know what I want.
Exactly. Alex, stay with us. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more about your work, Pop Magic, next hour. We open up the phone lines. And welcome back. We're back with Alex Kazemi. His book is called Pop Magic, A Simple Guide to Bending Your Reality. Alex, in your book, you have encouraged folks to engage with entities. Tell me about that.
I think that entities are an integral part about magic. I actually have a theory in the book that when you do your magic, entities create spiritual trials for you in your life that you have to survive to change and then get yourself to your goal. So you're not handed anything easy with magic, and it's not for the faint of heart in that way. I'm really advocating for a kind of Herculean magic where you, when the trials show up, you use your magic, you use your positive thinking to change and to get to your goal.
Have you used magic for spells?
Yes, of course. Yes, yes. Magic, doing magic is spell work and ritual work most of the time. I do a lot of ritual work every day.
Do you have to know what you're doing? Or, I mean, how do you cast a spell on somebody or on yourself to make things happen good?
Well, you know, it's kind of disappointing for people when they first discover the occult, but, you know, a lot of ritual work is just visualization, which is no different than, you know, the Oprah New Age type language, but that could be directly taken from the occult. But when you do a spell, you're visualizing the end result that you want with a lot of emotion, a lot of feeling, and usually it's with the ingredients of the perfect moon phase, and timing is a huge part about magic.
Hollywood's done a lot to this too, hasn't it?
Yes.
In terms of perception.
Yeah, for sure. Hollywood has abused and created a warped version of magic for us to stay away from it. I think even, you know, back in the early 2010s when there was all these theories about the Illuminati and all the fear around the Illuminati, I think, and pop culture, I think the Illuminati was probably planting those videos to make people afraid.
Now let's talk about the social media that you're opposed to. Tell us why you're opposed to it, first of all.
I think because as a young artist and a writer, I think it's not conducive to productivity, my creative process. But I also think it's a kind of brainwashing. It reinforces dogma, and it doesn't embrace free thinking. And I think a lot of people get stuck in the social media filter bubble world. And it also teaches people to edit their reality, in which they don't think of the opposing forces, and they live in a utopian kind of social media customized world, which is what I'm not advocating for. I think you should be aware of the opposing forces, and you should stick to positive thinking and your divine will. But I think a lot of social media culture is toxic.
Is it toxic enough to be dangerous?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's insane, you know, for the next generation with TikTok and all of this, everything that is changing at rapid speed. I think that it's dangerous for the brain because it thrives on creating addiction. Like I said, it's based off of Las Vegas slot machine culture, and they want you to use it. So you stay stuck in your virtual world where you spend hours just staring at your screen, but not, you don't get much done in the real world. And there goes your ideas, there goes your goals, because you just sat there for an ego high, a 5-minute ego stroke. It's just getting pats on the head. Really.
Is it brainwashing?
Yeah, I think it is brainwashing. I think a lot of people can't imagine their life without social media, and they feel controlled by it. And for that reason, if you can't walk away from it, and you've been, of course, I think a lot of social media reinforces brainwashing thinking because it's very institutionalized and it's very sanitized. There's not a lot of free thought on there, and it's very politically correct. And I don't think that's a part of creative discourse and cultural dialogue. I think it's very, very dangerous because people want to stay stuck in their own filter bubble reality. And I don't think that's healthy.
What creates people, Alex, to go to the dark side?
Of magic?
Uh-huh. Why would they do that? Do they think it's fun?
I have a theory about that. I think a lot of traumatized people go to dark magic because I think it's an area of control where they can get revenge if they've been hurt, if they've been abused, and it can be an area of control and a place, you know, if you feel dark, you're going to vibrate and match with darker things. You're going to be interested in darker aesthetics. You're going to be more likely to pick up the Satanic Bible than, you know, another type of magic book, because I think some people are just inclined towards darkness. Maybe they're Scorpios.
We had a good witch who's not with us anymore, Evelyn Paglini. I don't know if you ever heard of her.
No, I haven't.
She was she's been on the program for years. She passed away several years ago. But I mean, she would recommend certain colors of candles for rituals and spells and all kinds of things. I don't think she was the type of witch who would want to put a curse on anybody. Have you come across that?
Yeah, I have. I think, you know, there are certain people who believe that karma is a construct and that a lot of laws of magic should not abide any constructed rules, so therefore they have the entitlement to curse someone and not get hurt because they believe they're like gods or they believe they're more powerful. And yes, I've met people who hex people who, you know, I know Azealia Banks does that, who's a famous rapper. She talks about it openly.
Won't these curses come back and bite the person who put the curse on?
100%. Yes. Funny enough you say this, a lot of the people I know who have practiced evil, what we could be considered under the umbrella of evil or black magic, have very chaotic lives and a lot of karmic debt, and you can see it. And they don't want to connect it to the magic they've done, but I know that's a big part of it.
That old saying, what goes around comes around, is pretty true, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, I would say, it's such a waste of energy to just sit there and visualize someone being hurt. You know, why wouldn't you alchemize that darker energy or anger you feel into making your life better with magic?
So when people pick up the book Pop Magic, what are some of the things that they should really start studying?
I would read, you know, about magical alchemy, because you can use that every day,
mm-hmm.
and candle magic, sigil magic. There's alchemy for romance, when you feel feelings of limerence and love towards people that are not good for you. You can convert that and change that into a more positive thing. I have a chapter called You Are the Illuminati, which is all about deprogramming from society and deprogramming from approval addiction and fighting that back with self-validation.
You've been doing this for how long now, Alex?
Half a decade.
That's not too long.
No, it's not.
No, but
my life changed really fast because of it.
Is it something that you think you will do for the rest of your life?
I don't think I could walk away from it. I mean, I would say, you know, the next level after this book would be studying Kabbalah and the Tree of Life, and that would be more of the advanced form of magic and doing that soul work and rectifying, you know, the corrections that you came to this world to fix. And I would hope that people who use my book, I hope they would manifest their material dreams to realize it's not always the answer either.
And I was going to say, there is a progression here of using magic, isn't there?
Yes, I think I don't think anyone should follow anyone else's hierarchical ideas about magic, or, you know, follow a more cult-like mentality of, oh, the levels and all that kind of stuff. But I would say that you find yourself interested in deeper practices as you start and as you grow and as you change and you evolve.
Why would people dabble with the dark side of this, Alex? I mean, what do they get out of it?
I don't understand either, George. I think it's very strange. You know, I've met a lot of people who do the darker side of magic, and I actually think, you know what? I actually know it's instant gratification, because they say that the demons and the lower vibrational entities, they can work faster than the angels, and they can. They can create things like, you know, people who do spells with demons for fame and that kind of stuff, you know, they'll get it, but there's usually a cost with the entity that they're working with. They have to give them something.
Like their soul?
Well, you know, I think selling your soul is more about, you know, giving up your sense of self for an image, which I see a lot of people in our world do that anyways with their Instagram accounts. But I think it's not your soul. It might be something that they want from you, whether it's a drug addiction or a fetish or something like that. They feed off of specific things.
You might be too young, but do you remember the book Dr. Faustus?
No, I don't know it.
It was about, I guess it originated in the 1800s, but he wanted all kinds of glory, so he cut a deal with the devil to sell his soul. and that at a certain point, the devil would come and take his soul. Well, guess what? He didn't want to give it up. It was all kinds of things, but it was.
I think that's a great metaphor, and also something that a lot of people who practice magic get into. I mean, I know young girls who've made deals with entities or demons that are still wrecking their life, and they're just so in touch with the darker side of magic. They don't want to consider the other option, that there's a positive part. They just want the chaos. They desire it. They feed off of it.
Well, actually, the book was written in the late 1500s, so it goes way back.
Yeah, well, I'll check it out.
Yeah, you would enjoy that. It's somebody who dabbles with the dark side of magic, basically, to cut a deal with the devil.
Well, I think, you know, even stories like that told in books, you know, that's all based off of, you know, real stories about magic when you think about it. You know, a lot of what Hollywood tells us about magic, you know, you can't create things instantly in the way that we see with special effects in magic, but you can do things like, you know, visualize on a full moon something and materialize it, and usually magic manifests with a series of coincidences.
We will take phone calls with Alex next hour, questions for him, or if you've dabbled with magic, dark or not, why don't you share that story with us too? Isn't it easier to do magic on the good side, Alex?
Yes.
Than cut a deal with the dark side?
I think good magic is it's way easier to do in the way that, like, that it's something that is less chaotic than the darker side.
I think so too, and it's probably safer too, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's safer too, and I think it's also more fulfilling. You know, what's really fulfilling about, you know, being controlled by demons and entities and ego highs and being so delusional because dark entities and dark spirits are messing with you? You know, there's a lot of theories that, you know, some people who practice darker magic start to get weird mental health issues that they didn't have until they started to work with the lower entities. So it's really not a joke. Magic is very serious.
I was going to say, what's the price you pay for dabbling with the dark side? Because I'm sure there's a price.
I think you lose who you are and your sense of self, but also you lose your free will, and magic should be about your free will. And if you have entities controlling you and demons you've made deals with expecting things from you, you know, the upper worlds aren't going anywhere, you know, so they can keep taunting you for as long as they want.
And they do.
And they do, and we've seen it happen.
Have you seen somebody ever dabble with magic and get hurt physically?
I've heard of people doing certain dark spells and then, you know, getting in car crashes after, and instant karma in the way that they do get hurt through the karmic retribution of the spell that they've done, yes.
And back to social media and networking for a moment, how do people who get addicted to this, and because there are many who are, how do they break away from this, Alex?
Well, I would, you know, start with deleting the apps, stop going on the websites, you know, maybe get a social media blocker. If it is a part of your career and your job, maybe find someone who you can work with to not have to go on it as much. But if you're just someone where social media isn't that important or integral to your life, I would say, you know, delete the apps, stop looking at it, go on a detox and a cleanse. And if you feel even addicted to the internet in itself, you could also just make a note on your phone and write down the impulse of when you want to Google things and when you want to look at things, and maybe just be patient and observe that rather than give in to the instant gratification.
If you were debating somebody from Facebook or Twitter, what would you be saying to them right now?
I would say stop trying to take people's energies and stop trying to control the way that people use their time and make them addicted to their screens, because we're losing a lot of great art and a lot of creativity. I've seen a lot of amazing young artists destroy themselves with social media. It's kind of sounds like I'm talking about like LSD or something in the way other generations have talked about it, but I'm very serious about that. I think that it really takes away your creative potential. And you know, a lot of the great works of art took a lot of focus and self-discipline and lethal will, and social media doesn't encourage that. It just makes you a zombie, makes you zonked.
I've seen some people on social media, they will go out, let's say they go out to dinner, Alex, and all they do is take pictures of their food and put it on either Snapchat or Instagram or Facebook. That's it. That's all they do.
Isn't that so bizarre? Like, it's literally dystopian. I think it, you know, and they're programmed to do that. You know, that's why I also don't like...
They can't stop.
Yeah. I think memes are also a problem in our culture also, because they say that we're all supposed to react to something in the same way. And I think a lot of social media isn't about individuality and freedom of thought and freedom of expression. It's kind of about adhering to the consensus and being a sheep.
We're going to take calls, as I said, at the top of the hour for the final hour with Alex. So get ready to make your phone calls, questions, or if you've had an issue with magic, good or bad. What do you call the good side of magic, by the way, Alex? Is it white magic, or what is it?
I don't like magic having a color. Okay. I mean, I think the good side of magic is pop magic, honestly.
That's interesting. Did you come up with that phrase? Did you coin that phrase?
Yeah, it kind of came to me one day, and I was an
epiphany, huh?
Yeah, because I love pop culture and magic, and I see the intersections, and I wanted to kind of create a 1-800 pop magic kind of vibe. You know?
All right, well, we're going to come back and take calls with you next on Coast to Coast AM.